This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Most have at least one. Many have many more. I'm talking about allergies, and they can cause an awful lot of suffering as the seasons come and go. Our guest today makes it his business to help allergy sufferers find both relief from suffering and what is causing their suffering. Dr. Lee Perry is a double board-certified pediatric and adult allergy and asthma specialist with the Chattanooga Allergy Clinic in the beautiful Tennessee Valley. Dr. Perry, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you for having me.
Why is it, Dr. Perry, that some people just seem more prone to have allergic reactions to various things than other people? Is it in the genes?
Yeah, there's definitely a very strong genetic component. If you talk to people who have allergies and asthma and other allergic conditions like eczema, which is a skin condition, and even food allergies and medication allergies, most of those patients have, or at least a significant percentage, have a family member, a parent, an uncle or an aunt or a brother, so forth and so on, who have another allergic condition as well. So there's definitely a genetic component. But then there's also geographical factors. So if you grow up in an area like Chattanooga, for instance, in the southeast, there's lots of cities like Chattanooga, Knoxville, and Jackson, Mississippi, Atlanta, where more people tend to be allergic than in other cities. And a lot of that is just a function of the environment, where there's lots of pollen and lots of humidity, which increases the rates of dust mites and molds and things like that. So there's lots of factors, but two of the biggest factors are genetics, who your parents are, and also geographical, whether you live in the country.
So that's why sometimes they send allergy sufferers out like to Arizona or something, because of the dry air and less pollen out there?
Definitely, folks in Arizona will have a decreased tendency to have allergic conditions. Uh-huh. But if you take somebody who's extremely allergic, this is where the genetics come into play. If you take somebody who's extremely allergic and they're living in Chattanooga and you say, okay, you need to move to Arizona, those patients, a lot of times, even when they move to Arizona or Colorado or someplace where there's less allergy, those patients will still find something to be allergic to. So their immune system is kind of conditioned to be allergic. So it might be a different type of pollen. It might be a different sort of trigger, but most patients, you can't really move away from your allergies.
Right, okay. All right, now you mentioned the immune system there. Apparently the immune system is what is battling what is making the battle. If we want to strengthen our immune system, which I would assume would be a good idea, what do we need to do?
Yeah, well, the immune system, what an allergy is essentially where your immune system is overreacting to something harmless. I'll give you an example. Dog dander or cat dander. These are harmless proteins in our environment that the immune system, for whatever reason, has overreacted to. So when a person who's allergic to dog dander, it gets around a dog, he or she might start having runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, congestion, coughing, sneezing. These types of symptoms are due to the immune system and the cells of the immune system within the nose and the lungs overreacting to dog dander. So you take a harmless protein and your immune system overreacts to it, it causes symptoms. So an allergy is not something we want to strengthen. We don't want to strengthen someone's immune system. Immune systems are pretty complicated. Not only do they sometimes cause allergies, but your immune systems are important to fight infection. But an allergic reaction is when the immune system overreacts to something that was never going to cause an infection in the first place. So when we treat somebody's allergies, the basic tenets of treating allergy are basically to, number one, try to treat the symptoms, which are done with medications, or treat the problem or the allergy, which is done by desensitizing or taking away the allergy, which can be done through allergy shots. So that's essentially making the immune system weaker in a sense, but only making it weaker to specific things like tree pollen or cat dander or dust mites, things like that.
So they have medication that can target different types of irritants then?
The medications are essentially they just dull the immune system's response. So people that are on allergy medicines are still very allergic, but they don't feel the allergies as much because the symptoms are under better control. These are things like over-the-counter antihistamine, prescription nose sprays. And those medications keep you from feeling the allergies, but they don't take away the allergies.
So the only way to take away the allergies is to take yourself away from what's causing the allergy, right?
No, actually, the only way to do that is to do allergy shots.
Oh, okay.
Allergy shots are where we can test patients to figure out what they're allergic to. We do that on a daily basis here where we check patients for allergies to things like pollen and mold and dust mites and pets. And if we find that someone is very allergic to these things, we can make an extract or a mix with those proteins in the extract, and we can give those patients shots with what they're allergic to. And over time, we start with a really small dose and slowly increase the dose over time. Over time, the allergy, it goes away. It's called desensitization or allergy shots, and it takes away the allergy and hopefully eliminates the need for allergy medication.
This is basically a vaccine for an allergy you're giving us here then, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay,
yes, sir.
All right, okay. All right, so a person comes in and is suffering from dog dander or suffering from pollen and whatnot. When is it time to see you? When do you say, well, okay, we need to go to the expense and the time necessary to fix this as opposed to just live with it? What's the line that gets crossed there?
That's a great question. It really depends on how much is it affecting your life. Okay, so if you've got a patient who comes in and they're taking an antihistamine, an over-the-counter antihistamine once in a while, and are doing great, functioning well, and that patient probably doesn't need to see us. They're functioning well, not having any problems. Unfortunately, if you live in the Southeast and you suffer from allergies, most patients aren't like that, where you just take a Claritin or a Zyrtec and the symptoms go away.
Yeah.
The patients that I see are folks that have seen their primary care doctor several times for these problems and have been sent to us because despite all these medications, they're continuing to have just overwhelming allergy symptoms, runny nose, sneeze, itchy nose, congestion, itchy watery eyes. And these are symptoms that sound mild or harmless, but when you're the allergy sufferer, they can really change your life. They can lead to absentee from school or from work. They can also lead to something called presenteeism, which is when you actually go to work or go to school, but you're just not functioning well because you're not sleeping well or because you're on antihistamines and medicines that are making you drowsy. So when they start affecting your life or leading to lots of infections like sinus infections and bronchitis, and you end up on antibiotics two or three times a year, these are patients that could be served well by desensitization or allergy shots, which could take away their allergies. Another patient who's ideal for an allergist is someone who is on allergy medications but is interested in potentially coming off of those medicines. You know, the allergy medicines, again, we're not really treating the problem. We're just treating symptoms. So patients that are on allergy medicines might feel better, but if they stop the medicine, the symptoms will come right back.
Right.
So I don't know many people who are interested in staying on 2 to 3 allergy medicines for 10, 15, 20 years when there's an option of doing allergy and immunotherapy or allergy shots and potentially getting off of those medicines after a year or two.
How long does it usually take, these allergy shots? What is the usual or average amount of time where you just can wean the person away from that allergy?
Yeah, usually when we start the allergy shots, patients see a response and start feeling better within about 6 months. Okay, so that's one of the downsides of allergy shots. You have to be patient with them. They don't work overnight. So what I typically will do in a patient who's pretty allergic is keep them on their allergy medicines initially, start the allergy shots, and within 6 months to a year, hopefully start weaning them off of the allergy medications. So when you initially start allergy shots, you're getting a shot about once per week. And then when you get done with the build-up phase, which is where we slowly increase the dose of allergen that we give you each week, then you go into a phase of allergy shots called maintenance, which is basically the same dose every 2 weeks. And you stay on that dose usually for a few years. And over that time, over that first 6 months to a year, hopefully start seeing significant improvements and hopefully decreasing the need for allergy medications. I have seen several patients, even in the past couple of weeks, who previously were on an antihistamine like Allegra plus a medicine like Singulair, which is an allergy medicine or asthma medicine, plus nasal sprays, and now aren't on any medications at all. And allergy shots are that effective, and they really do work. It's just a matter of being patient with them and acknowledging that they don't work right away.
Okay. Well, we want to talk more with Dr. Lee Perry of the Chattanooga Allergy Clinic about allergies and what we can do. And perhaps there's kinds of allergies that really can't be helped and we just have to live with it. Let's find out on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
I'd like to think that one day, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a list of people. People like Jared and Susan, who were introduced to Jesus because of something we said. Or maybe it was as simple as a passing smile. But these people will look into their past and be able to say, "I'm here because of you." Recently, you may have heard that Heartwise Ministries has begun spreading the gospel to the young, the old, the sick, and the healthy. We want to take this type of medical programming to the non-believer and the person who has closed themselves off to traditional forms of outreach. If you believe as we do and want to support Heartwise so that together we can count more names on the Tree of Life, please consider donating today at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
This is ADRA's world. A world where billions of our global neighbors lead lives of denied opportunities. Their reality is poverty, hunger, devastation, illiteracy, and sickness, much of which is preventable. It's overwhelming, but the Adventist Development and Relief Agency International, or ADRA, cannot hide from this reality. ADRA responds because God calls each of us to reach out to a world of hurt to alleviate the suffering of even the least of these sisters and brothers. It's the gospel of Christ in work boots. Would you like to help? Here's how. Pick up the phone and call this number, 1-800-424-ADRA. That's 1-800-424-2372. Or visit www.adra.org. ADRA. Changing the world one life at a time. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Lee Perry of the Chattanooga Allergy Clinic, and we're talking about allergies today. Those in the Southeast have a little more of a challenge because of the humidity and the flora and fauna out there. And he says that there's help for people, and that help can happen rather rapidly if you take allergy medicines. But if you take these pills and shots, over time you can wean yourself away both from the allergy and from the medicines, and that's good news too. Dr. Perry, is there anything out there that you just haven't found a way of dealing with, and the person is better served just simply moving away from the area?
Not really, no. I mean, the hardest allergies to treat definitively or curatively are food allergies. We haven't really talked about that yet, but food allergies aren't curable at this point. So those types of allergies, you have to just avoid the food. So patients that come in with the most common food allergies are things like peanuts and tree nuts or milk, eggs, soy, and wheat. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, if you're allergic to these things, you have to avoid them as opposed to treating with an allergy shot. There are some physicians and researchers doing studies on taking a patient who's allergic to peanuts, for instance, and giving them small amounts of peanut protein by mouth, which can sometimes, and then slowly increasing the dose that they give them by mouth, which can slowly take away the allergy to peanut. But those are only on a research scale at this point, and certainly are not ready to be done in our communities throughout the country. But I wouldn't suggest that a patient would need to move to get away from that type of allergy. It's just a matter of avoiding a certain type of food.
I would assume also because of the intense reactions that some people can have from allergies, both food and otherwise, that this is not something that you want us to do on our own. We need to really come and get help from people like you?
Absolutely, yeah, especially with food allergies. It's just too life-threatening.
Yeah.
The most life-threatening allergies I see from a day-to-day basis are typically foods, specifically to tree nuts, peanuts, and shellfish.
Uh-huh.
Those are the most allergenic and potentially life-threatening food allergies.
Okay.
And then also to insect things like honeybees and yellow jackets and wasps. And these types of patients should definitely see an allergist if you've ever had a reaction to those types of triggers. Right now, the treatment for food allergy is just avoidance, and we do recommend for patients who have food allergies to carry an EpiPen, which is a life-threatening shot that they can administer to themselves.
Mm.
And also patients with venom allergies, allergies to insect venoms, should carry epinephrine as well. Now, there is life-saving treatment for venom allergy. It's kind of similar to what we do for other allergy shots. We can give allergy shots with patients with the venom that they're allergic to, and over time take away their allergies to those venoms.
Fantastic. Well, while we're on the subject of venom, of course, you have snakes down there, and there are snakes in different parts of the country. I was reading something about this. Is it still important to hunt down the snake and bring it with you when you have a snake bite?
It's always a good idea to have the snake or a picture of the snake, or at least be able to identify what type of snake, because with certain types of snake bites, of course, number one, they can be life-threatening.
Sure.
And two, there might be life-saving treatment if the ER physician, the emergency room physician, has an idea of what type of snake bit the patient, might have some treatment available to treat the reaction.
Because the last thing I want to do is hunt down a snake that bit me. I mean,
Yeah, I know. It's definitely scary. A lot of times, if you can identify the snake, you don't need to bring the snake in or take a picture.
Uh-huh.
But you know, certain snakes have different types of poison. So it is helpful to know what we're dealing with when the patient presents to the emergency room.
Okay, very good. Now, when do we know, you mentioned that if these things affect our lives, a lot of people, if they get stung by a bee, that affects their lives. They swell up and they don't like it and it hurts. Is it better to come see you at that time, or if that's all that's going to happen, you're going to swell up, you're going to feel bad for a day or two, then it goes away. Should we not come and see you then?
Oh, that's a great question. So specifically for an insect sting, for instance,
uh-huh.
if somebody gets stung and just has a big local reaction where they swell up real big and they kind of, you know, it itches and hurts, and even if you get stung on the hand and your whole arm swells up, that's not really a patient that has to see us. That's called a large local reaction, and it's pretty typical. Usually large local reactions are worse than little kids and children because they just have smaller extremities, and it's easier for the whole arm to swell. The reactions that we get concerned about is a systemic reaction. A systemic reaction is when a patient or someone gets stung, let's say, on their hand, and instead of just their whole hand or their arm swelling up, they have hives, a rash that goes from head to toe, or they have shortness of breath, or cough, or throat discomfort, or swelling of the lips, or even vomiting and diarrhea after a sting on the finger.
Yeah.
That's called a systemic reaction. That's where you're having symptoms elsewhere in the body besides just where the sting occurred.
Yeah.
So in a patient who's had a systemic reaction to an insect sting, that is essential for them to see an allergy doctor, because there are life-saving treatments that need to be implemented at that point.
Well, that's good news, because one of the big questions that we all have as people is, you know, when do I go see the doctor? Is this bad enough? I don't want to cry wolf here too many times. When do I go? But you're saying that if it's localized and painful, that's, you know, we can live with that. But if it starts showing up in other areas of the body or causing other symptoms, then we have a problem, right?
That's exactly right. The local reactions are fairly easy to treat. I usually recommend application of ice, a little bit of antihistamine like Benadryl or Zyrtec by mouth, and those usually resolve over the course of a few hours to a day.
Uh-huh.
If it gets so big that you're worried about an infection starting or circulation, then you might need to see your primary doctor. But large local reactions do not increase the risk of someone dying from a subsequent sting. Okay. But if you've got somebody who's had a systemic reaction to an insect sting, the next time they get stung by that same insect, their risk of a life-threatening reaction is somewhere between 60 and 70%.
Wow.
So we want to see those patients, because if we treat them with venom allergy shots, venom shots, we can take that risk down to 3%.
My. Okay.
So it's potentially life-saving for those patients.
Is there anything we can do, Dr. Perry, in our lifestyle that can minimize our allergies just across the board? Are there things we can eat? Are there things we can drink? Are there ways we can live that help us face the allergies that all of us face?
That's a great question, too. There's not really much you can do. I mean, if you're going to be allergic, you're going to be allergic. If you are allergic, there's certainly ways of decreasing the triggers. So patients who are really sensitive to pollen, for instance, we tell them to, you know, keep their windows closed and drive with their windows up in the spring and fall, especially, and not to sleep with their windows open. People that are really allergic to pets, we tell them to not get pets, you know, and keep their pets out of the bedroom or even out of the house.
Yes.
For patients who are allergic to dust mites, which are little tiny insects that live in all of our beds and sheets, we can tell people to wash their sheets on really hot water once a week. And things like that, just practical advice to avoid their triggers. With insect stings, it's important to know, you know, they're most commonly a problem in the late spring, early summer, and you want to make sure that, you know, you're just walking around, not walking around outside with bare feet, with no shoes and socks
on.
Things like that. So there are practical ways of avoiding your triggers, but as far as taking someone and saying, all right, I don't want to ever develop allergy, here's how I'm going to do it, there aren't any really foolproof ways of avoiding becoming allergic.
Okay. And finally, in the minute we have left here, air cleaners, air purifiers, do you recommend them for people's houses?
Yeah, I think they can help, especially with people who have allergy to pets, because pet dander is a very buoyant and light allergen, so it floats around in the air, dog and cat dander. So air purifiers with HEPA filters can suction out those allergens and keep them from getting to people's noses and mouths and eyes and all the places that where they experience allergy symptoms.
Is there a website, Dr. Perry, that you could recommend for people who want to know more information about allergies and how to deal with them?
Absolutely. Well, there's a couple of them. For just in general, you can go to our website. My practice's website is www.ChattanoogaAllergyClinics.com. There's lots of good information and links on our website. For food allergic patients, the best website that I know of is www.foodallergy.org, which is a very good website, lots of information on food allergies. And then another great website is www.acaai.org, which is the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. Lots of good links and information for patients on that website as well. Foodallergy.org and ACAAI.org.
All right, very good. As well as the ChattanoogaAllergyClinic.com. Check those things out. Dr. Lee Perry of the Chattanooga Allergy Clinic, thank you so much for being with us today. Good words of wisdom from you.
Thank you.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Lee Perry, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.